This is Herb Bergman of the Oral History Committee, Society for American Baseball Research. It's November 13th, 1994. I'm in North Miami Beach, Florida with Freddie Moskowitz, who's going to be talking with us today. Among other things, Fred actually had a personal acquaintance with Lou Gehrig and had a lot of very interesting baseball experiences. Fred, it's a pleasure to talk to you today.
It's my pleasure.
Fred, could you tell us a little bit about when and where you were born and how you grew up and first got involved with baseball?
I was born on the east side of New York, on the very lower east side of New York, close to the East River. I went to a elementary
school. This was in New York City?
New York City.
I went to. Would you mind telling us when you were born?
I was born in October 1920.
Okay.
I went to a very famous elementary school, which was PS 188, which a lot of famous people throughout the world was known.
Could you name two or three of them?
Jack Javits, who was well-known, a senator. Benny Leonard, who was a fighter.
Boxing champion.
You know, you got me in a position I can't remember
that's
all the
fine.
Names.
That's fine. So
I played what we called indoor baseball in elementary school. And we played this, not outside the school, but within the school. They had, like, doors that opened up. And we used to play indoor.
It was like in a gymnasium?
It wasn't a gymnasium. It was the lower floor of the school, and they opened up the doors. They were sliding doors, and we were able to play. And that's how I really started to play ball.
Did you have, nine men on the team?
I don't remember. It was seven, five. I really don't remember how many.
What was it, a rubber ball?
No, indoor baseball. Softball. They call it softball today.
Right.
My day, it was called indoor baseball because it was done indoors.
And if you played indoors, how could you hit a home run? What did you
it was tough, but you usually went for singles or doubles.
Okay.
And from there, I went to junior high school, which I played in the Bronx. Junior high school on Prospect Avenue. I think it was called Prospect Junior High School. It was on Prospect Avenue near Freeman Street. And
give us an idea of the time. Like, do you remember if you wanted wanted to go to the movies? How much it would cost to go to the movies?
Movies, I think, was 10 cents. There was the RKO Franklin near us, the Lois Burland, which was B-U-R-L-A-N-D. And then if we were rich enough, we went to what was called Lois Paradise, was on Grand Concourse near Fordham Road, I think. I'm going back for many
years.
What
were kids doing when they weren't in school?
You know what? We had after-school hours, in junior high especially. Mm-hmm. We had where we stood. We didn't go home to do homework right away.
Mm-hmm.
We would play basketball, softball, and it was very well. We were athletics. I mean, we were athletes in those days, and I say in my time, that's what made me in good condition at 74 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I did all these athletic things, I'm in good shape today, thank God.
You're looking good.
And we used to play stickball, boxball. I don't know if you ever heard of boxball.
Well, describe briefly.
Boxball would be played on a gutter, on a street.
Yeah.
And there would be one, two, three, four. There was no outfield, only infield. It was first, second, and third. Mm-hmm. And you had a first baseman, a second baseman, a shortstop, and a third baseman. Mm-hmm. Was there a shortstop? No, there was no shortstop. Mm-hmm. It was one, two, three, I forget. And we played. We used to play kick the can, Johnny on a pony. These were the things that we did. We never involved. We didn't know anything about drugs those days. The only drug I knew was when we went into the Chinese laundry guy. You smelt the, I forget what they call it, they smoked opium.
Well, you're now under arrest, Freddie.
Right. And it was interesting. I wouldn't have changed that life of anything.
Tell us, I know what it is, but just very briefly about stickball. What was stickball like?
Stickball was played in the gutter. and there were sewers.
And what did you use for a bat?
A bat was the cutoff of a broomstick.
Right.
And in those days, they had Spaldings. It was a
rubber ball.
A rubber ball, which cost a nickel at those days.
Uh-huh.
And you were able to hit it quite a distance. And we played handball against the wall.
I know, and the sewers were like 50 yards apart, and you were either a one sewer man or a
one,
two sewer man.
If you hit three sewers, you were dead.
Right, you're ready for the
a home run hitter.
Right. So what about actual baseball? When did you do
baseball? We played in junior high school. That's when
were you,
we got
were you on a team?
Oh yes, I was on a varsity team.
Which
I played short,
mm-hmm.
And you couldn't get a ball through me. The only problem I had was hitting, because I wasn't that tall at that time.
Uh-huh.
I was much shorter, and I didn't have the weight on me. And I must have been around 130, 35 pounds in those days, because I did a little boxing in my day, and I was considered a lightweight, which ran up to 135 pounds.
So how old were you around this time?
Oh, I was about 13, 14 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated and played for James Monroe High School shortstop.
So then you went to high school. Mm-hmm.
And then I got picked up by...
Was that very competitive to get on the team? Or?
Yes, because they played every other high school. They were Clinton, Evander Childs, and Morris High School. I'm trying to think of the other schools that were around there.
They were Clinton?
I said they were Clinton, didn't I?
Yes. So your main ability was in fielding.
Yes, I was a pretty good fielder. Hitting wasn't my forte.
Mm-hmm. So where did your bat and batting work?
I batted first or second, because
mm-hmm.
I can bunt like hell. There was a caption in the newspaper that the tailor was my uncle, because I gave him so much business when I used to steal bases. I used to tear my uniform, so he thought he was my uncle. And then they wrote also as a caption that the police were looking for me for stealing too many bases.
That's funny.
So I'll never forget that.
Do you remember any numbers, how many bases you stole?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
Right.
In fact, we played on fields that weren't manicured like they are today. They had pebbles on it. And I'll never forget, to this day, I have from the pebbles, when I slid into second, I got cut up on between my thumb and finger here. And, you know, it just shook it off.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came in, the coach says, I want to take a look at that. And sure enough, I had to go to have it cleaned out and everything, because it was a dirt field. They weren't manicured like they are today. I think it was in Crotona Park.
In the Bronx.
In the Bronx, right. Yes.
How would you describe the kind of coaching that you received? Was it worthwhile? Did you remember learning anything?
I wasn't, I can't compare it to anybody else. But I think our coach, I think his name was Doc Wiedemann. He also coached football, I believe. I wasn't sure. I played a little soccer one time. I was a forward on the soccer team, but the running was too much, and I quit.
Right. So I think you told me you were on All-City baseball?
Yes, I made All-City, and which was the compromise of the five...
You made up the best players
the Queens,
in the city at that time.
Old city. Well, it was Queens, the Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island.
Do you remember any names of any players who later went on to perhaps play big league ball? Or
I only remember Manny Kaplan. He played basketball and baseball, but I don't think he... I don't remember. I don't know if he went further or not.
I think you told me a couple of years ahead of you was Hank Greenberg's brother.
Oh. Yes.
Did you know him? And what
Mutty. His nickname was Mutty Greenberg. They were in the lumber business.
And was he Greenberg's older or younger brother?
Younger brother.
What kind of a ball player was he?
He was pretty good. He couldn't field, though, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
And he and I fought for it in the American Association.
Was he a big fellow, big powerhead?
Oh, yes. He was, he was tall. He can hit. But I don't remember, his feeling was poor, I don't want to knock him down, but I didn't think his feeling was that
poor. Well, when you knew him, where was Hank Greenberg? Had he been in the major leagues yet?
I don't remember if Hank was in the...
I mean, was he like known as...
Oh, he was very known in the Bronx.
Hank Greenberg,
he was outstanding. He used to hit a ball a ton.
But the brother never went much further.
No, only semi-pro like I did.
Right.
And that's as far as, I don't even remember if he tried out for the big leagues or not. Mm-hmm. But we were sent down in 1937, and I traveled with them, and then I was sent down to the Piedmont League mm-hmm. at the end. I came north a little way, and then...
Well, wait, somebody signed you up out of high school?
Yeah, Paul Critchell.
Oh, tell us about how that happened.
All right. He came and got us, and I went...
When was that? He was scouting one of the games? He came up to you after the game?
He came to me, yeah.
After a game?
After a game or when I was in school.
You were a senior at this time?
No, I was before a senior. I was a junior, I guess, in the sixth or seventh term high school.
So you were about 16
Wait
years
a minute,
old?
Not six or seven, what am I talking?
You
it
were
was
about
10th or 11th
grade. Right.
Grade. What happened was we had to go to a brewery. It was called Rupert Brewery on 90 Frey Street and 3rd Avenue to meet Colonel Jacob Rupert.
Rupert owned the Yankees at that time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And five of us went up there, and the first
you
two went...
By invitation?
Oh, yes.
To become interested in the Yankees?
Yeah.
Right.
Naturally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He owned them.
Right.
And we went up there, and the first two fellows went in, and they stood about 3 or 4 minutes, and it was my turn to come, and I went in,
mm-hmm.
and he says, what is your name? And I said, Fred Moskowitz. He says, thank you very much, and next. And I couldn't understand. When we got downstairs, this scout cursed me terrible. He says, your name is not Moskowitz. I said, what do you mean my name is not Moskowitz? He says, your name is Morse. You're playing under the name of Freddie Morse.
Now, what's the reason he told you that? I think I can guess, but what's the reason for it? Yes.
I don't think they want the Jews at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was of Jewish faith and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't matter to Paul Critchell. He mm-hmm. only wanted me to go down to St. Petersburg.
Right. Would they involve your parents at all?
Yes.
What happened there?
Was underage, and my father had to sign papers for me.
And
he refused to sign because of the change of name.
Uh-huh.
So
what happened?
I had somebody else sign the name.
And they paused
the first, I was very interested in baseball. I love baseball.
So how did your folks react to that?
Well, I went and I told them I'm leaving for St. Petersburg, and they said, you're old enough.
You had graduated from high school at this point.
No, I wasn't. I graduated in June. This was February.
So you were like, what, 17 or 18?
17. 17.
Okay.
18th would have been at the next birthday.
So you headed down to St. Petersburg.
I went to St. Petersburg. Years ago, I had what was called a basketball bag. You threw in undershirts and socks, you know,
right.
and your spikes.
Right.
The uniform they supplied and everything. And that's how I went down to St. Pete. We got there by bus. It took 30 hours from 34th Street and 8th mm-hmm. Avenue. On the way, we picked up a couple other guys.
What year was this then?
1937.
Okay.
We got into St. Petersburg about 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was nobody on the street, and the bus driver says the hotel was down there, about a block or two. It was a 4-story building. We went there, nobody in the hotel, but they had a bell that you hit to wake him up.
At the desk.
And the desk. And we hit that, and he was groggy and everything. And he says, okay, you take this room and this. And the room I went to, I went in. The door wasn't closed. I couldn't understand that. The door was not closed. No key, nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I went in, and I knocked something over because it was dark. And the guy got up and started to curse me. And it happened to be George Selkirk.
George Selkirk was on the Yankees at that time, right?
And
but he replaced Babe Ruth when Ruth retired, I think.
Correct.
Yeah.
And are you? What is this?
So you went into the wrong room.
No, I went in the right room.
They roomed you with George Selkirk?
Yeah, George Selkirk.
Was that common to room a high school kid with a major league player?
At that hour in the morning, who knew what they were doing?
Okay.
I stood overnight and every in the morning we got up. And we all went down to breakfast and everything. And he introduced himself. He was a very nice person. In fact, he used to come to see me here in Florida.
With Selkirk?
George Selkirk. Really? When the Yankees used to play, he would come down after retirement, naturally.
Uh-huh.
And he would call, and we'd come down, and I'd go up to the ballpark up here, and we'd meet up
this
there.
This was your first time you ever to Florida?
Yes, my
when
first
was this,
time.
February, March?
19th February, the end of February.
What was your 19th? First impression of Florida?
Well, it was very hot. And I'll never forget my experience. It rained on one side of the street, and I never seen that in my life. And a kid with a newspaper came over and gave free newspapers. There were 1,200 people in the whole town, and the only store I remember was McCrory's. It's like a 5 and 10.
Like a Woolworth, yeah.
And that was the only store I ever remember.
It was. I think I remember reading that. There was so few days that it rained that whenever it rained, they actually gave... Well, whenever there was no sunshine one day, they gave the newspaper away for nothing.
I don't remember
that. It happened a few times a year.
Well, I'll never forget. It rained on one side of the street, and they gave me a free newspaper. And we used to have to take a trolley car. We were on Fay Street. The ballpark was on 13th Street, mm-hmm. and they had one trolley car that ran back and forth, no charge.
Uh-huh.
You didn't pay for it.
So what did you put on the uniform in the hotel?
No, put the uniform over there at the ballpark.
Remember what your very first day was? After you
Well, I was very nervous, very excited and everything, but they didn't do anything. They said, told us to sit down. It was, no park, and they had benches. It was really not even a dugout.
It was just a field.
Just a field with benches around there. Mm-hmm. They had no, I think they had running water, I'm not sure, no. And it was exciting, and then they introduced us to everybody. And then that afternoon, you played twice. You played in the morning, and you played in the afternoon. Because
mm-hmm.
in the afternoon, it got very hot.
Yeah.
Very hot. And in the evening, I'll never forget, there was what they called the three-quarter league. You had to be 75 years or older, and they played ball where the St. Louis Cardinals used to play near the water.
So next year you can join that league.
You know they still have it to this day.
I know, I was reading
I was amazed
right.
how these fellows yeah. were able to still play. Uh-huh. They loved the playing of the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I was reading about it.
So you heard of the three-quarter league?
The paper, yeah.
Really?
Three-quarter and of the century, yeah.
And the Cardinals used to play down there, and we used to scrimmage, play into games with them occasionally.
At Magny?
No,
oh, yeah.
not the three-quarter league. I'm oh, talking about
yeah, right,
the Cardinals.
Right.
No, we would, instead of playing...
Yeah,
the
Cardinals trained for a long time with the Yankees in St. Petersburg.
Right. right. In the afternoon, after the second or third week, we would play then. You know, mm-hmm. it was a pickup game.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the, you would call us the rookies.
And when you were playing, did they give you any instruction or any hints of batting or fielding?
Yes, we had a batting coach, and we also had a fielding coach.
Mm-hmm.
Bump Hadley we had, I remember. We had a fellow whose brother was a federal judge. I think his name was Murphy, Johnny Murphy.
Johnny
Murphy. A relief pitcher.
Yeah, he was a great relief pitcher.
Did you know his brother was a federal judge, a very big judge? Yes, in Washington,
uh-huh.
D.C. And so, I think we also had a fellow, Monty Pearson. I'm not sure about him. And let's see.
He was injured during World War II, I think.
I don't know.
But at any rate.
But when I played, Garrick was playing first. Lazzari was playing second. Frank Crosetti was playing short. And Bobby Brown, Red Ralph Bobby Brown, was playing third base.
I don't think it was Bobby Brown, but Red Ralph.
Red Ralph, whoever came first. Then I remember Earl Coombs played left field.
Uh-huh.
The one season only.
Uh-huh.
And then I think he retired. Was Bob Musial the third baseman?
I don't know. You know, we could check
He
that
could
out.
Be. Bob Musial, I think, was playing third at that time for mm-hmm. a little while. Chapman was playing center, and Selkirk played right. But they had, many players were coming in. I think DiMaggio even came in around
that
time. So
naturally, you were confident of making that team, right?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. I came what? After that. About 3 weeks...
Did they give you, do you remember any one or two kinds of instruction they tried to give you?
Well, they were trying to tell us to anticipate where the hitter would hit. In other words, they tried to position it in the field.
Right.
That was about the only thing. The hitting, the instructor told us to try to lay back a little. We were too anxious to hit home runs.
Uh-huh.
He's looked. To get on base was good.
Go with the pitch.
Right.
Particularly a small fellow like you, they wanted you to get on
base. Don't say a small fellow. In my day, everybody was pretty small, especially infielders.
Okay.
The big guys were the catcher. Dickey was catching, and I can't think of his understudy who played 10 years, caught three games in 10 years, made $10,000 a year.
Which was very big money.
We got $35 a week, room and board.
These guys, how did they react toward kids like you?
The better player treated us much better. Red Ruffing, Gomez. Ruffing had a touring car, and he took us to the dog track at night.
He's
and I happened to be
guy.
One of the. He was a very nice guy to us.
Uh-huh.
He treated us very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first experience in dog track. We went over a big bridge. I think it was Tampa to St. Petersburg Bridge,
yeah.
They call it, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really know. And that it was very nice. I enjoyed being down there.
Well, DiMaggio was on the team then too, right?
I think he just started to come in.
Okay.
He wasn't well known that way. I remember a skinny, Italian-looking guy.
They said he's a very quiet guy.
Very quiet.
Yeah, right.
I've got to tell you a very interesting thing with Lou Gehrig. We came back to the Yankee Stadium, and I went in there in uniform.
This was after a spring training.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still in 1937. And I was in the dugout, sitting on the bench, and he called me over and says, go up to the clubhouse, man, and tell him I want the manila envelope with the pictures. I have to autograph them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up and got him. And when I came down, he apologized. He thought I worked for the clubhouse, you know. I wasn't a rookie.
Right.
You know, I was like a clubhouse man that ran errands or something.
He apologized very much.
And I went in 1939. I saw him. It was very sad. He could not lift his right leg on its own. He had to take his two hands, pick up his right leg and cross it over to the left.
Mm-hmm.
He was in such pain and everything. And in 1939, they had a day for him, and there were 83,000 people, and I was in civilian clothes. I got an invitation from him to come, and on the third base line,
you were written in the
day. Yes, and I should come and be a guest of his. Because it was a farewell thing.
Yeah.
And in civilian clothes, because the dugout for the Yankees in those days was on the third base side.
Uh-huh.
And we all lined up, all the players, and there were a lot of people in civilian clothes, and I was very honored by doing that.
You were actually on the field?
On the field, oh, sure.
And you heard him make that speech?
Sure. Very good. In fact, I went over after and everything. You couldn't get to him, but he was very appreciative. And
I remember, what did he say? That he felt he was the luckiest man in the world.
That was what he said,
right.
On the, you know, this was on, I think it was Fox Movie Tone.
I've seen that many times.
Yeah.
And I tried to see it.
Somebody once saw me there, but I can't see myself.
You mean on the
movie? I had a call one time.
You've seen the movie Pride of the Yankees with Gary Cooper?
No.
You really ought to see that. It's on it's on video, and they have that scene in the movie.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Where you say, you know, Gary Cooper is playing his part. And
I heard of it, but...
Yeah. It's a very fine movie. You really ought to see it.
Yeah. In fact, I played in the Army. I was inducted in...
Well, let me get back for a minute, if you don't mind, to this, your first spring training. So what happened? You said you were down there for 3 weeks, and what happened?
Well, Ben Chapman came in and called me...
he was the player on the...
He was an important player. And I don't know how they found out I was Jewish, because I had to change my name to Freddie Morse.
Mm-hmm. Which you were told to do, right.
And he called me all kinds of names and hit me. He gave me a slap.
To slap you at the face? Just for your religion, right?
Yeah. And I took a bat when he was in, and went out to center field. I hit him on the head, and that's when I got to Joe McCarthy, threw me out.
Why did he throw you
out? He said he couldn't have any problems on the team, and he was an established player.
So you were kicked off the team?
Yeah, I was let
go. And that was it?
That's right.
Well, you were in good company because, as I was telling before, Ben Chapman also said terrible things about Jackie Robinson.
And, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I never heard of that.
When he became a manager later on, I think, of Philadelphia.
Chapman became a manager?
I think of Philadelphia Phillies. And one of Robinson's first games.
I never heard.
He was so abusive of Robinson that even the Dodgers, some of the Dodgers on Brooklyn weren't too crazy about Robinson. But Chapman was so vicious that they actually came to Robinson's defense. So he was a pretty nasty
guy. That's news to me.
You're not the only
that.
One who had
bad.
That experience.
That's a bad thing.
So what happened? Was that the end of
well,
your career?
Well, no, I was invited back the following year.
Oh, you were?
Yes, I was invited back. I went down.
What did you do during the summer? Did you keep playing ball?
Well, I played a little semi-pro ball, which I got paid for.
Okay.
There was a...
mind telling us how much you were paid back in those days?
$15 a game.
$15 a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was out in Cedarhurst, Long Island. Jeez, I can't... The Bushwicks, I think their name was.
Okay.
But naturally, I had to play under a different name because it wasn't allowed to be professional ball players weren't allowed.
Oh, you were considered a professional?
Yes.
When the Yankees signed you, what? Could you mind telling us what would they sign you for? What kind of money?
$35 a week.
Interesting.
That's room and board.
That was pretty standard.
It
right?
was a lot of money in those days.
And that was enough to pay your room and board back in those days.
No, they paid room and board.
Oh,
we got
plus $35.
Yes. That was,
Mm-hmm.
But you just signed the paper. It wasn't actually a contract.
Okay, so they did call you back then.
Yes, I was called back in 38.
So now we're in 1938. So what happened then? You went down to
Well, I got down, still couldn't make the team, and went down to a... first year was Piedmont League. The second year was called the American Association.
Your problem was still in your hitting, I guess.
Yes, I was not a good hitter.
So you went to the Piedmont League first. That's in the Carolina.
That's in 37.
That
was
in
No, I thought it was in Virginia.
Okay. And what was that like?
Very bad.
What was the name of the town that you were based in?
I don't remember the name of the town.
Okay.
But it was very bad. They rode in a bus, and the rooms they went into was horrible.
Uh-huh.
It was a horrible experience.
Did you have your own room or you had a roommate?
No, there were three in a room.
Uh-huh.
And they tried to save money because a lot of people didn't come out to those games.
Right.
And
how many people come out to an average game?
250, 300,
okay.
If I remember right.
And your roommates were kids like yourself?
Yes. Some were a little older.
Did they know you were Jewish?
No.
Okay. You
Nobody knew I was a Jew, no.
You were told not to say anything about that?
No. I didn't wear any Jewish emblems
right.
or anything.
Okay.
And I went along, that was it.
Now, how many games did you play in the...
I played about 21 or 22 games in the Piedmont League.
And how much were you paid there?
$35.
Still, because it was part of the organization, right?
That was a Yankee chain.
Okay.
And went down. Mm-hmm. But the living was terrible there, and the traveling was terrible.
Uh-huh.
Dirt roads and this.
What was the longest bus trip you ever took?
About 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
You went from town to town.
Uh-huh. And do you play, like, every day?
Yes, if we could make it. Sometimes we didn't get there. The bus would break down. We didn't get there.
What would you do on an off day?
Mostly hang around the motel, you went in the town if it was possible. Because we didn't, you could have had a complete meal for 80 cents, 90 cents in those days.
80 or 90
cents? Yeah,
like a full dinner.
Yeah, at night.
Were you
breakfast
homesick? I mean, you were a
big
city boy. But.
No, I wasn't homesick. I got along. As you can tell, I'm a good speaker.
Uh-huh, sure.
And, I love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care where I was. I wanted to play.
So what happened in 1938, the end of the season?
1938, I went down to St. Pete, and then I went into the American Association.
So you were going, that was a step up.
A step up, They thought I can maybe eventually
Did you feel you were developing?
Well, I was getting stronger.
Uh-huh.
Because they told us to exercise, and those days they didn't have gyms that you went to.
Weights,
everything. You did it on your own.
Uh-huh. So what did you do? Just physical
exercise? Well, there was a boys club in New York on 10th Street and Avenue A, which I belonged to as a kid. And I went there and I exercised and played basketball and everything.
Uh-huh.
We used to play touch football out in there. I forgot to tell you that. On the east side of New York.
Okay. In the gutters, right?
Right. Touch football. It's all coming back to me a little bit.
how big were you at this point now? You were getting...
I was about 5'8 and a half, 5'9 at that time.
And
I wasn't full grown.
About how much you weigh?
I weighed about 138.
All right, so you were filling out a little
bit. Yeah, I was getting a little stronger, eating more meat, I guess.
Okay.
I was a meat and potato guy.
Double A ball. Was that double A? He was at American Association?
Association.
How many steps would that be from the majors? Like two or three steps?
One
down?
Or two steps, I don't remember.
Okay.
Maybe one, I don't remember. It was called the American Association. And I stood there about also 2 or 3 weeks, I don't remember. That was a better class of baseball, and the traveling, the buses were better.
Were any of your instructors former major leaguers?
No.
No.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
No.
How about any of the guys you played with in the minor leagues? Did any of them ever make the majors? Well, you don't remember.
Charlie Keller, King Kong Keller, he went to the International League with Newark Bears.
Well,
and Paul, not Paul,
did you know,
Tommy Henrik.
Did you know Charlie Keller?
Oh, sure.
What kind of guy was he?
He was a hell of a nice guy, but his interest was the horses. Everything he talked about was horses.
I think when he retired,
that guy loved horses. And Tommy Henrik was on the team.
What kind of guy was he?
He was pretty good. Babe Dahlgren. You ever hear of Babe Dahlgren?
Sure. First baseman.
And also a catcher. He was like a third-string catcher at one time.
Uh-huh.
In case there was...
Were they about your age?
No, they were a little older.
They were a little older.
Yeah.
And they were still at that level ball.
No.
They were in the American Association?
No, they were already at the Newark Bears.
Oh, so how did you get thrown in with them?
Well, I went to the Newark Bears for 2 weeks.
Oh, you were? Okay, when
was that?
That was
in 1939.
Oh, so in 1939, you actually sent you to the Newark Bears.
And that was my last day, because then the war came along and I got drafted in 40.
Wow. Looking back, what do you think would have happened?
I don't think I would have made it.
You didn't think it was quite
good enough? No, uh-huh. Because it was, they threw too fast in the majors.
We were talking about that you got up to the Newark Bears, which was the Yankees' top party, and I've heard people say that the Newark Bears were actually better than half the major league teams at that time. They had so many, they had fellows like Keller and Henrik who actually made the Yankees. Of course, in those days, there were no free agents.
Keller made the Yankees.
Yeah, and Henrik, and so once you were in the Yankee organization, you couldn't become a free agent. They could hold you there for life, and that was supposed to be a terrific team. But you said you didn't quite have the goods.
No.
To make
no.
it, and then you said you went into the Army.
Right.
Now, did your ball playing come in when you were in the Army at all?
The extent of my ball playing, they had a pickup team, and they asked if anybody played ball, and I said I did, and I was picked, and I did play, and I can't think of Gabby Hartnett's understudy from the Chicago Cubs.
And he was managing?
He managed that team, and we used to play other teams. I played 2 games in the Army because I was an infantryman and didn't have too much time.
You were busy with other...
it was more important things.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad I'm just home, came home one of the very fortunate fellows who did come home.
Yeah. And once you got back after the war, did you harbor any further aspirations to get back into baseball?
No, I was finished with it. I went into the family business and everything, and that was it.
I was getting too old already. I put in quite a few years, a little over 5 years in the service.
Okay. Did you ever keep up with any of the guys that you played baseball with?
No, never. I just dropped it. In fact, to this day, I used to go see the Yankees play over here in Fort Lauderdale. And after a while, I have no thought of even watching baseball. Occasionally, I would watch the games today because I don't believe the salaries they're getting today.
Yeah.
It's a business. It's not playing ball like we used to. We love the game. Today, it's a business for these guys. They can play 3-4 years and retire for the rest of their lives.
Did you ever see Lou Gehrig again after that day?
No, never saw Lou after
you
that.
You never heard from him or
never,
wrote to him?
Never. Uh-huh. He was too sick. He was even at the stadium, he was very sick. You can see it in his face.
Who would you say is the greatest ball player you ever saw in person?
The greatest ball player I ever saw. Oh, that's a tough one.
Well, we could answer
not
it,
that I played, that Joe DiMaggio or what was his name from the Giants, Willie Mays.
Willie Mays. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I seen him play at the Polo Grounds.
I didn't ask you, when you were going to junior high and high school, did you go to major league games?
Oh, yes. I took my wife in 1933. At that time, it was my girlfriend. We went to see a Boston Yankee doubleheader at the stadium.
Okay.
I paid 15 cents for the bleachers.
15 cents.
15 cents
do you
for the bleachers.
Do you remember what a box seat?